With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Two lines open for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. 860-522-9842 is the number. That's it.
Yep.
That's the number you can call. Let's go to your calls. Back to Karen, who's having some trouble in South Windsor. And we did some research, Karen, to try to figure out what was going on. And we found a few things. So the Carolyn talked to you and got the website from you. And we put it in some of our geek tools and came up with this. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, first of all, the subdomain that you were looking for, that's the first chunk of that address, does not appear to exist anywhere in DNS. So what's happening is your browser is probably going to a cached address that it's got somewhere else, and it's trying to connect to a server, but the server isn't responding correctly because it's not set up to do what you... the browser thinks it's doing.
Right. No such number. No such
second thing is that I see, I looked at all their DNS records and it is a riot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm serious. I have never seen anything like this. They have six different name server records and those are what control the DNS. And they appear to be using three different sources of information for their DNS records. And that's just not done anywhere. And it may be that that is where the confusion is coming from because they have defined that subdomain somewhere.
Right.
But it's not being picked up because the worldwide DNS system is just not getting it from wherever they put it.
Okay.
So it's not that, it's not you, it's them.
It's them. Definitely.
But even though I've been doing it like this for years, and then all
even
of a
though,
now it's just,
yeah.
Okay.
Even
you,
though,
you
said
they
clearly did something.
And they sent a notice, you said, in your early discussions. They said they gave you some notices about changes.
Yeah, they did say that there was, they did say that, well, they do that all the time, though. They're like, because they also have an app that my employees use to punch in and out. That's basically how they punch in and out for this.
Yep.
And then I go into the website, not the app,
right,
but into their website, and I check their punches, make sure that they're right, you know, make sure nobody went over their hours, all that stuff. And that I can't get into.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, great. Well, I'm supposed to do all this before, you know, 5 p.m. on Monday, and I can't get into the system.
Well, we can't either. So we went and looked at that website.
Yeah, we can't load that web page at all from here.
We get a DNS error.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's completely dead to the world as far as we're concerned.
So it's on them. So you have to call their support and tell them just to go ahead and do a deal.
I mean, I did email them to say, hey, ever since you did this update, I can't get into the system.
Well, tell them a couple of pasty white computer geeks on the radio said that their DNS is messed up.
DNS. I write that right
yes.
down. DNS is messed up and I can't get into
it. Seems messed up, yes.
It all seems right. to well, us to be messed
I
up.
Okay, DNS. Mm-hmm. I thought, because I went onto my husband's iPad and I couldn't get on, and I went, but then I'm like, well, I've used his iPad before, so I didn't know if it was something to do with cookies or something that every time I tried to use it on one of my machines, I had already tried to use it on one of my machines in years past or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And that's why I wasn't getting it, was because I already had all those cookies or something.
No, the reason the cookies were actually giving you that false sense of something because it was kind of displaying some remnants of what it's trying to find.
Right, and your DNS cache is probably pointing it to a server somewhere.
Right.
And it's just not making the right connection because it's not set up to do what it should.
It's their their trouble.
Definitely.
Yeah, even when I hit the little eyeball to see if I was typing my password incorrectly, because I'm like, well, maybe for some reason it changed my password or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't even work. It's like that. It doesn't like even register that when I click the eyeball, doesn't. And when I click log in, it doesn't like none of the buttons work.
Right. Because it's not what you're seeing. It's not there. What's your password, by the way? Oh. All right, Karen. So it's all
tab.com.
There you go. Definitely, it's on them. It's not you, and they need to help you.
All right. At least I know it's not all my machines going wacko or something.
Nope.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for your help. You guys have a great rest of your day.
You too, Karen.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye. Yeah, because sometimes you think you're going nuts. Right?
They also have two different A records for their root domain.
Not going there.
Why?
They clearly have some web issues. Let's go on to Alan in Glastonbury next. What's cooking, Alan?
Hi. I just bought a new desktop to replace my old desktop, the old one being about 6 years old. And I was not exactly sure how to transfer all the data and settings to the new one. I do have a backup. I use RoboCopy to copy the C/users/Alan folder and the folder for my wife.
Nice.
Good deal.
I exclude hidden system files.
Right.
I exclude the app data folder and junction points. I'm not sure why I do, but I do.
That's fine.
That's all correct.
Okay, so I was concerned if there's anything else like browser settings, favorites, passwords that LastPass or I used Firefox Password Manager, how all those things would come across.
Some of those might be in app data.
Yeah.
What I would do is selectively open them up on the old computer, or better yet, for things like that, open up your browser on the old computer and then export your bookmarks explicitly. It'll come out in an HTML file and you just import it on the other computer. The other thing is, I think there's a way to export passwords from the browsers.
Which you shouldn't be doing, by the way. Don't use.
Well, yeah, don't. What I would do is I would use this opportunity to start with a clean slate with passwords in the browsers. Okay. Definitely move the bookmarks the way I suggested, but just start with a clean slate in the browser. Now, if you want a reference for what the passwords were, then you can use the old computer. If you have to, maybe write them down on a piece of paper.
Are you using LastPass, you said, Alan?
I use LastPass, and also I use Firefox, which has its own password manager. So I sort of have both going. I also keep them in a spreadsheet.
Mm. All right. So you don't even need to move those.
It's just more convenient if I wouldn't have to re-enter.
Is your
them.
Spreadsheet password protected?
It is not, but my house has door locks, so I haven't been concerned about that.
That's not the problem.
It's not the issue.
Yeah, it's again somebody exfiltrating your data and taking it off your machine because of a ransomware attack.
Oh.
And then taking your spreadsheet, which isn't password protected. So you should probably get in the habit of password protecting your data if you're going to put it on an Excel spreadsheet and you're going to put it in a folder called passwords. I mean, that's what you know. And not that you're doing that.
The Excel password.
Minimally, yep.
Yeah, okay.
It's something you can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to have to reload software. Not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
Right.
But exporting your browser settings is, like Dennis said, is pretty straightforward.
At least the favorites and or bookmarks, however they're called in the different browsers.
Yeah.
Okay. Would it make sense to include app data folder in the
In the long run, no. You're just gonna it's just gonna move a lot of data that you don't really need to recopy. In this case, all you're worried about are things like your bookmarks.
Right.
And that's just one thing from a couple of different browsers on the computer, and that's easy to move. But if you were moving app data, you know, copying it every night, and if you were to move it completely over to the new computer. That's just too much data. It's a blizzard of information that it doesn't need. And I would just allow the app data directory to rebuild itself from fresh.
Right, do you
take this opportunity to refresh your user profiles.
And do you have your applications to reload, Alan?
For the most part. I have a copy of Office, which I got from work, and I'm not. So I'll have to buy Office again. But other than that, I don't have much that I actually had to pay for, so I can probably just go to the internet and download all the apps again.
Yep. That's that's the way to do it.
Yeah, get it all fresh. Newest, latest, greatest versions.
Okay. And then when I actually take my external hard drive and connect it to the new computer, how do I actually then initiate the copy?
You're going to do a robocopy, but in reverse. Okay? The robocopy command starts with robocopy, and then it has a source and a destination. What you're going to do is literally transpose the source and the destination, and then keep all those switches that you've been using, just leave them behind and run that command. Yep.
Oh, okay. That sounds simple enough.
That's why it's simple. If you're smart enough to use RoboCopy, then it's crystal clear, easy to do. You're done.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay. Any other tips for what I'm about to start?
Once you're done copying, I would reboot the computer and then log in with each profile on the new one and just take a look at a few things, make sure everything's where it belongs.
Yeah, and I would tell you to keep the old machine for a period of time.
Yeah.
Even years. Just disconnect it off your network, put it in the garage or the basement where we're going to put it. Probably the basement. That way it doesn't freeze or anything like that.
And you know what? Take a USB stick and keep it with it. And whenever you break the computer, that old computer out to get something off it, you will have that stick there that you can then use to move the data wherever you're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, pack it all up, put it away, leave the stick with it. And then you never have to question where it is.
Okay. And do I create the new profiles on the new computer, or will RoboCopy do that?
No, you have to create them. You have to initialize them. In other words, create the user and log in as the user at least once. Then run the RoboCopy into both. Then you're going to reboot, like I suggested.
And you got to call yourselves the same thing.
Yeah, you have to use exactly the same username
that you were. So that you don't create a different directory, that it's going to be like RoboCopy is going to go, I don't see that directory.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I think I'm all set. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Now Alan's got something to do today. Actually, we'll step out for a quick break and to get to your calls. Paul and Ernie, hang on. Two lines open for you, 860-522-9842. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And if you missed anything, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You know, go to your podcast tool and you can listen to us anytime you want and waste a couple hours that way. We'll be right back. And we are back. It's a quick break. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. And let's go right to Paul in Wallingford. Hey, Paul, what's happening?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
Good. I'm in Wallingford, but I live in Southington. You do, I believe.
I do. I live in Southington. I'm actually going to call it my hometown, where I'm from these days, because we're there longer than when I grew up in Windsor now. So
there you go. Well, back 2 years ago when you guys were promoting GoNet Speed, I signed up. Long story short, I have underground service, and guys said, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, it's not getting there yet.
Yeah. What would you recommend in the meantime? And, like, I don't really understand the streaming part.
Right.
I have four TVs hooked up with cable.
Right.
One has the DVR box for that. The other three have those little mini things. So if I switch over and cut the cord, say I pick up Hulu or whoever carries ESPN.
Yeah.
What do I do with the other three TVs, or how does that work?
So let's first answer your first question about streaming. So the thing about streaming is, if you think of a stream, right, a river or a stream, it's got mass, right? It's think, and if you think of it, the river going down the way there, the same thing happens with data when you're trying to bring down a TV station or any kind of broadcast nowadays. It's not broadcast anymore. Broadcasting is when they have one big antenna and they just chuck the data out in the air, all that with all the other data out there in the air, and your system, you know, receives it, whether it be at the cable site, and then it gets sent right to you over that copper line, that RG58U, is that what it's called? That RG6, whatever it is. It's that cable line comes to your house.
RG45?
RG40.
No, that's the, okay.
Nah,
I know what you're
it?
Talking about.
So, but streaming, you're actually going to take that data, right? So you're going to download a stream of data to your TV or to your device individually. And so you have to get a device that will accept that stream. So you need a Roku, a Chromecast, a Fire Stick. I like the NVIDIA Shield. That's been my go-to because it's got very good video and audio processing. You then log in. The individual boxes will log into the tools that you're paying for or the subscriptions you're paying for. And then it will deliver ESPN or it will deliver whatever video you want to watch, Amazon Prime, Netflix. Each TV has to have one of those devices of some kind. Many of these devices these days are built into your TV. It's a smart TV. So you could have smart TVs right now in your home that are just being aren't being utilized, correct?
Okay.
So
I know three of them are.
Three of them are smart. Perfect. So you're going to go ahead and bundle up all your Cox equipment and, you know, go bring it to them, and they're very nice. They'll take it back, and you're going to then configure your Netflix on each of these TVs or your Hulu or whatever you're subscribing to. You're just going to log in and configure it. It's very simple. And you'll be able to get your stations. And each TV will stream that data to the TV to display it for you. Now, your question was, what would you do for an alternative internet if you can't get go NetSpeed because of them not doing any micro-trenching yet? I would tell you to look at the T-Mobile cellular. We've had a lot of folks talk about how good that is. There's a home cellular service. And if you go online, I checked it even for myself in Southington. They wouldn't tell me it was a good choice because I was a little too far away from the tower. But depending on where you are with the T-Mobile system, you can pay $50 and get high-speed internet over wireless.
Okay.
And that might be an option for you.
So I could eliminate the Cox internet.
You would eliminate the Cox internet altogether, yep.
All right.
You could fully cut that cable because Cox internet is still going to be much more expensive than the T-Mobile internet.
Yeah, they just bumped me up onto my next bill.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? So
it's lovely.
So now you can go. There's two options, right? You can say, hey, you know what? I checked out T-Mobile. I'm going to go ahead and cancel you guys. And they might bring you right down to their price, and you're all set. Or you punt them and bring in T-Mobile.
Would I change phone service also?
You're getting your phone through Cox?
Yeah. I have the bundle.
All right. So here in New England, we keep hanging out to these old phone numbers. You could just get rid of that phone number and use your cell.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I know we're the land of steady habits here, but it.
Yeah, I know. That wouldn't go over very well my other house.
So I agree with you. It took me a long time to convince the wife to do this. I don't. So, do you have an answering machine on the old phone number?
Yes.
Do you ever listen to the messages?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, we weren't. So. So I'm like, honey, all we're doing is paying for an answering machine that we're not even listening to the messages. If you are listening to them, fine. So, yes.
They could be avoided. They could just call the cell instead of the home phone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get an alternative phone, you're going to need something called UMA.
Yeah, I looked into that when you guys first mentioned it to me a couple years ago.
And I think it's still free. All you're going to do is pay the taxes on the service. So you move your number to the UMA system, buy a couple of UMA phones, plug it into your data network, and now you've got your old number if you really want to do it. That's what I did to get step one to get away from.
When you say plug it into the data, what do you mean by that? The phone line?
No. So UMA's going to connect to your Wi-Fi, your internet service from wherever you're getting it, and it's going to go out there and get your phone number because you're going to port that number away from Cox over to UMA. And the phone will work like a phone. It's just the number is now voice over IP rather than over that cable that I can't think of the name, RG50. What's that? RG58U? I don't know. RG6, something like that. So you're not going to get it over that cable line anymore. You're going to get it through UMA. So the easiest thing, Paul, would be to punt that old phone number altogether.
Yeah.
And just tell your wife, well, you already have cell number. You probably both have your own cell phone, right?
Correct.
Yeah. How many numbers do you need? How reachable do you have to be?
I know. You sing it to the choir, trust me.
Yeah.
As far as recording shows, do I need one of those DVRs?
Nope. So YouTube TV, Fubo and all those places usually have like all sorts of DVR capabilities.
Yeah, they do have a storage capability for you.
So is that an additional piece of equipment?
Nope. It's all on the cloud.
It's built in. I'm sure if you needed more recording time, that they might charge you for that, but yeah. There is a certain amount that's built into the account.
Thousands of hours. I mean, yeah, you'll never hit it, Paul.
I don't think so.
All right.
So it's pretty...
I was trying to hold out for zero net, but guy said don't hold my breath.
Right. So here's what you should do before you start canceling all sorts of services. Go to one of your smart TVs. Do you have Netflix or any of these services yet?
I have Netflix and I have HBO Max.
Oh, so okay. You're using Netflix, though, on some sort of equipment that Cox provided you?
Correct.
Ah. So go one of your... Go to one of your...
I subscribed to it. I clicked on it and signed in and everything. I paid $9.95 a month for it.
Okay, so maybe it's being delivered through your cable service. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say just have you log in, try to set up a smart TV to practice a little bit to do it that way.
He might be able to do it. I can't say for sure.
Go on the smart TV, configure your credentials, log in, and just play with it a little bit.
What, disconnect the cable?
No, you need the cable internet still.
Okay.
But you play with the smart TV as far as setting up the Netflix app on the smart TV itself.
I have that already.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, and you already know how to do your streaming. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're already streaming. You just didn't know it, right?
Yeah. Check out T-Mobile Home and see if it's in the area. If not, then you're kind of probably going to stick with Cox. But you can always tell them you're going to change and see if you get a better deal.
Yeah. No, I want to change because they just keep every month, every year it just keeps going up $31 this year.
I hear you. Yeah. Preaching to the choir now too.
So that's mobile home, you said?
Yeah, T-Mobile Home. I think Verizon's going to start offering it as well. So,
I think they do.
Yeah,
already.
We got to go, Paul, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck. This is Computer Talk on WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until around 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will come in, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. So we'll take your calls right up to the top. Let's go right to Ernie in Bolton next. What's happening, Ernie?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I have an email problem.
All right.
I don't know if you've got any calls about this or know of it.
But oh, if I had a nickel for what you're about to say, I'd be driving a different car.
Definitely.
Oh, okay. The email is with SBC Global.
Yep.
And we haven't been able to use it since last August. So if I call AT&T or any one of them, SBC Global, Yahoo, it becomes a finger-pointing thing.
Yep.
And AT&T says they're working on it.
Mm.
But in the meantime, we can't do anything. And there's like insurance companies, banks send us emails, but we don't get them.
Right.
Okay.
Now, how much did you pay for the SBC Global mailbox?
Oh, I don't know if we ever paid for that.
Right. Now, you do see that you talked about these important connections you have to life insurance and other things coming to this mailbox, but the mailbox is free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much do you think you paid for the mailbox outside your front door?
Probably $20.
Well, you probably pay a lot more than that considering the mailmen and the system that we're paying for in taxes for that mailbox. You're paying billions and billions of dollars for that mailbox, right?
Yeah.
So for some reason, we all got kind of used to free email. But we've connected some really important things to this free email, and then you have your problem, and nobody cares really because guess what? You're not paying for it. So we can't fix AT&T's mailbox problem with your SBC email. But we can encourage you to get a better email system, and the one that I would encourage you to consider is Proton. It's a Swiss company. It's also encrypted. So you would pay. They do have a free mailbox option, which I would tell you not to do. Pay yeah. for your email. And if you pay for your email box, it'll be there for you. And you'll actually have people that'll support it and take care of it. Again, until this company doesn't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Exist, which could happen anytime.
Yeah, could.
But if you pay for it, it probably will exist. So I wish I could help you on your SBC Global, but yeah, I think it's Yahoo really is where you want to go.
Right. It would be Yahoo. And I'm just wondering, how are you getting to the email? Are you using the web browser or are you using an email client like Outlook?
No, it would be the web browser.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you can't even log into that. All right.
Right, you can't log in anymore, right, Ernie?
Well, they want you to identify yourself and log in, and then you can reset the password, but they send it to the broken email address. So,
yeah, all right. So that's all right.
The
so
loop.
Yeah, you're in a what they call an authentication loop.
It's a loop, right? Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So there's nothing we can do to fix that loop.
Yeah.
Because you can't get into the account. This also happens when 2FA, like if somebody broke into your email box and they change that second factor to be their own email address or their own phone number. So that's another issue as well. But going forward, you should think about changing.
Now, that Proton, how do you spell that?
Proton. Proton.
T-O-N.
Yep. We'll put a link over at Computer Talk with Tab. You don't have to choose that email system. The only point I'm trying to make with this is that we've gotten so used to free for things that we really should have been paying for. Because again, we treat our mail system with a lot of respect to physically get your mail. Now we're trying to get everything through the internet, and we don't really give it as much respect as we really should, considering how important it is going forward. You know, that mail system should be the most encrypted, most secure system, but people are using like Hotmail and Gmail. Gmail was, you know, reading our emails, just to see if you're interested in, I don't know, beekeeping, and then they would start sending you beekeeping ads.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, think about it being a little more serious here as far as which way to go. But you could still use a free mail system. You could always use a secondary free system like a Gmail account as your way to try to for your recovery. But clearly, you only had the one email box as a recovery method, so that's kind of where your problem is.
Well, let me ask you one more question.
Yeah.
Is there a way I can erase it so that people sending a message would realize that it's not going through?
That's a great question, right? So you want it to bounce back. You would have to see if Yahoo would delete your mailbox for you.
Okay.
They might do that.
Yeah, they might kill the account. But it doesn't mean that the people who are sending you the email care that you're not getting it.
Right. Those bounce messages may go back to an automated system that just doesn't do anything with them.
Right. So you've gone paperless, and the company sending it to you paperless are going to be like, I don't know. I guess Ernie doesn't want this. They don't. So you have to go to each service you've subscribed to.
And then tell them, I've got a new email address. Here it is.
Right. And you should be doing that systematically now, considering you've been locked down since August.
I guess that's my other option, and it's been a while since we've been able to use this, and it's frustrating. But
right.
Anyway, thank you for your help.
Yeah, I wish we could help you there, Ernie.
Yeah, we cannot break through an authentication loop.
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
But hopefully folks are listening about this issue.
Yeah. And definitely get yourself, number one, a email account that's supported.
Right.
That you are paying money for. It doesn't have to be a lot of money, but you got to pay something.
Right.
Because then you're going to get support. The other thing, maybe set yourself up a Gmail account as a recovery account.
Right.
Don't use it for anything else. Just have it available.
Right.
If the other account fails and you need to get something like a 2FA
right. different passwords,
token
guys.
And use different passwords, maybe even make the email address itself very different from each other.
Right. All good stuff.
That's security by obfuscation.
Exactly. All right. Let's go on to Fred in Southington, my hometown. What's going on, Fred?
Good morning. The last gentleman who was really reluctant to give up his phone number, we're in the same boat, same house phone and everything.
Right.
And we also shut our house down for a few months in the summertime. We recently switched to Frontier Fiber, and I was going to go to NetSpeed. No reason why I didn't. I got a cold call on Frontier, and they said you could keep the phone number and all that other stuff. Long story short, we're paying, I think it's $49 for the first year, and then it goes to $59 for fiber coming in.
Okay.
And the cool thing about it is we can actually, I actually shut off the router where it comes into the house. So like when we take the power off of our house, it's shut down.
Yeah.
And you can then actually go online through the internet and check your answering machine. You can set it up so that the phone number that we have here in Southington gets shifted to our cell phone or our phone in Maine.
Yep.
So just a really nice way to go for those who are like me who are reluctant to give up that home phone.
Yeah.
Oh, and we still have our regular answering machine, too.
Right. All good. Yeah, it's called, again, voice over IP. That's the power of voice over IP. Google Voice would have worked the same way, too. You could have set up a Google Voice number and forward it.
The nice
thing
about it was we didn't have to, you know, set up a new account. It was pretty seamless. I mean, he was in and out of here in 2 hours.
That is nice. Seamless is key. Seamless is key. But voice over IP, that's the power of voice over IP. They take your number and turn it into an IP packet, and there you go.
You end up with your own private virtual PBX, and then the calls can be routed however you want.
It's a good solution,
cool.
Fred.
Yeah. Just wanted to pass it on. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for letting us know about it.
Yeah, ease of use is key. All right, let's go on to Vince in Norfolk. Hey, Vince.
Hi, good morning. I have a simple question for you guys.
Oh, great, thanks.
No, it is. I just was wondering about T-Mobile internet. I have Optimum. I'm getting all these ads for T-Mobile. Is it worth it?
We get so many people calling in saying it works great.
Yes.
Oh,
so okay. If you have a good signal, yeah.
That's the key. You've got to have the T-Mobile signal reaching you.
Gotcha.
And
that's
you can
a good
go. You go on their site and then you put your address in, and then they'll tell you whether or not you're a good enough candidate. And then they might ask you additional questions as far as what you're going to use it for, how many people in your home, and how much bandwidth. And then they'll say whether or not you're still a good enough candidate. They're honest enough with me to say, no, you're not a good enough candidate because
that's
of what.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye. Yeah. Wireless internet's coming. I mean, I actually saw a Cox commercial talking against wireless internet, trying to sell against it specifically. So you know they're shaking.
Okay, now it's really coming.
Yeah, when they start
when you're
referencing
having counter advertising.
Yeah, I sat back and said, we're there. We've got some competition. We might actually see $25 internet someday. How crazy would that be? All right, let's go on to Mark in, and not that I'm going to hold anybody to it, but $25 is pretty low. Mark in Berlin, what's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, I made it to Home Depot. I'm back and got on, too.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a good day for you.
So far, well, now I got to go to work.
Oh, sorry. we're working.
We're working. We're right here with you.
I've got a Dell laptop about 5 years old running Windows 10, okay? And I bought it and came loaded with a whole bunch of software. And one of the pieces of software was McAfee.
Yep.
Now, I also have Defender.
Yes.
Do I need McAfee? Because when I go into control panel, I look under security, it says Defender Firewall, the settings are being managed under application McAfee Personal Firewall.
Yes, that's correct.
So do I need both?
No.
I've been buying it for, you know, a couple of years now.
I would just uninstall McAfee.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't need it. Defender has come a long way.
Defender is doing a good job. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, within our customer base, it definitely waylaid a couple of malicious files immediately.
Yeah.
And it's serious antivirus now. Okay.
Right.
That's what I've heard you guys say.
Yeah.
So you know, when the renewal email came up, I said, well, maybe I'll just take a look.
Right.
Going on.
Did you configure OpenDNS, Mark?
Yes.
Okay, good. Those two things together should be pretty good.
Yeah, that two-layer approach should do you well.
Cool.
All right, Mark.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. The other thing, this show has talked about that solution, just those two, web defense and basically antivirus as the solution. And we have yet, over the many years that we've done this program, have anybody call and say, hey, you know what? That didn't work. I got hit. Not that you can't.
Right.
But you would have thought in a station this large, 50,000-watt flamethrower, we'd have all sorts of people saying, you know that idea you had there with the web defense and the antivirus? It didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. It does work. We know it does work. I mean, we've got a client base of over 9,000 systems that we are protecting with not just those types of technologies, additional technologies.
There's more at play within the customer base.
Right. As we joke about being an ASP, but we're the number 31 MSP globally. We produce all these technologies to protect our clients with more than just those two. But for home users, it's pretty darn powerful.
Yeah.
And affordable, which is always what we're always trying to shoot for.
Definitely.
Let's go on to Doug in the car. What's happening, Doug?
Hey, guys. I'm looking into putting a mesh network in my house. I've got Comcast or Xfinity, whatever.
Yep.
I've got an Asus router up in my office, which is on the second floor.
Good.
I have an old wireless router down in the man cave, which is on the basement level.
You shouldn't have two routers.
Okay. Well, what I want to do is I want to just have a seamless Wi-Fi connection, second floor, first floor, basement level.
Okay. Well, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Asus, would that be one of my better bets?
I'm sure the Asus has some sort of wireless mesh pucks that are out there for access points, right?
Right.
If they do, you could keep within that ecosphere.
Okay.
But two routers in your network, which you may or may not have two routers, but I suspect you probably do because we do see this a lot. Having two DHCP devices in your network is going to cause an issue eventually. You're going to have IP conflict. So in the man cave, you're going to put a mesh puck. If Asus has any for home, go ahead and put one in there. And then in the middle, on the first floor, another one. If you have a wire going from your Asus router up on the second floor down to the first floor, that second puck, and then you've got your mesh network. The only issue is, will your current Asus device, is it mesh capable, right?
I don't think it is. So okay. I'm thinking of replacing that.
Okay.
Right. And that makes sense. If you like Asus, that's fine. Stick with that brand if they've got the mesh technology. We've brought up other kinds, too. Linksys has got some options.
Oh, Linksys does. Yeah, definitely.
Orbi is out there, too.
Orbi is by Netgear.
There's another one.
Okay.
Then Amazon has something. I can't remember what the brand name for that.
Right.
Amazon kind of frightens me. I wouldn't
be getting with it either, but I'm just throwing it out there.
We agree.
Yep.
Actually, we have a story about the failure of Alexa, but we won't.
Oh, yeah.
we're with you on that. So, there's plenty of options out there. So you're going to have to make sure your router, the one router in your home, is mesh capable and works with the pucks you buy. I call them little pucks. They're access points. They're mesh access points.
They're secondary.
I get it.
Yep.
so do I have...
Do I have to have a Cat 6 going to each of the APs?
If you can, yes.
That'd be the best result.
Okay.
That will definitely give you the best results.
All right. And then do I have to do anything with the Xfinity modem that's coming in?
The modem? No.
Just plug it into your new router.
Just plug it into the new router, and then it'll serve up to the pucks.
Okay, so Xfinity doesn't have a Wi-Fi built into their...
They might.
Modem.
Actually, they probably do.
They probably do, and I would hope that it's been turned off.
Right. So your neighbors are able... Well,
yeah, I can't find a way to turn it off.
Well, there may not be anything in there. I don't know offhand.
I think there is.
I would think 90% of the time it's going to be included.
We can probably put a link up there to how to turn off your Xfinity Wi-Fi, so that what it'll produce is a public Wi-Fi, so your neighbors can use it, and then of course your own Wi-Fi signal, which usually has got some sort of its own SSID out there for you. You should be able to turn that off.
Okay. And insofar as security on the mesh network, what would I be best with?
WPA2.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there three out there now on these
systems?
There
is, but a lot of client devices won't use it.
Right. So WPA2.
I mean, a Windows computer or Mac computer will, but other stuff.
I'm running Windows computers and cell phones or Android.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the older Android phones might not do it. And then you might have other devices that may not handle it, but yeah, you're gonna want to use WPA2 at least.
Yep, and make sure you've got both a 5 gig broadcast and a 2.4. If you can do separate SSIDs for those, it'll be easier to manage your systems.
Okay.
That way
And then I saw they've got another protocol that's running
IPv6.
Yeah.
Right, so you need to configure your OpenDNS for both your IPv4 and IPv6 networks so that you get the same security across both. You can broadcast both. Most devices these days will accept IPv6.
Okay.
But
Anything else I need to know?
No, you've got a lot going for you. You seem like you're pretty on top of it, Doug, so it sounds great. You're going to have some good stuff, but don't have two routers in your network.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Have a happy holiday season.
Yeah, you too, Doug.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to continue on with Joe in Stafford Springs. What's happening, Joe? Joe, you there? Oh, he's on the infamous line one. Joe going once? Come on, Joe. Twice? I'll put Joe back on hold. Something about line one occasionally. We're going to go on to Peter in Middletown. What's happening, Peter?
Question, you probably heard it before, but I got a notice that this is the final software update on my Chromebook. Is that mean it's not safe to use anymore? Can I just add some kind of antivirus or something, or what?
That's a loaded question. It would probably be okay to use for a few weeks, but
it's not fair is what it is. It's just not fair.
It isn't, and it bothers us about that.
Yeah.
The way they just, we're going to end of life your thing that works just fine.
Right.
And you're happy with it, but we want you to buy another one, so you were going to end of life it.
See, at least with Apple, what they did was they'd mess with your battery power by helping you or by making sure the iPad's memory was so small that you would outlive it. You'd have to upgrade it. Google's just saying, enough of this. We're just going to make it so you can't use it. It stinks. I think you might find some applications will stop working, potentially. We've had callers calling with other issues with this problem with Chromebooks. It's frustrating. You might even ask yourself, would you buy another one because of this?
Yeah.
And I would think it's a fair question to ask.
It's a very fair question.
You know? But Microsoft's not much better. Windows 11 is out there, and it has issues with all sorts of perfectly good computers. But doesn't work on tons of them. So, I don't know. You'd think, maybe our attorney general can get involved. Dick Blumenthal. There's the guy. We should get him on this because it is ridiculous.
So not safe is what you're saying.
We can't tell you it's safe. Anytime things stop getting updated, there's going to be an issue with it. There's going to be a lack of support in some instance where you can become vulnerable. Like there's instances like with NAS devices where they stopped being updated and the bad guys literally got in through a vulnerability that was unpatched and were able to damage your backups, right? This could happen with your notebook. This Chromebook's not going to get patched. So there's a vulnerability in the old version. The bad guys get into it and give you a hard time. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be for 2 years. But
soon for your life.
It's something that you got to be aware of.
Yeah.
Now, you're using apps on it, so the apps are secure. Do you have any local storage on the device?
Yes.
So there's your only concern, really, is any local access. But if the apps eventually might stop working because they're no longer compatible, because they're going to keep getting updated for the new versions of Chromebook, and then yours is not going to be able to run that stuff eventually.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, Peter. He's like, thank you.
I don't know if he should be thanking us, but that's all right.
It's awful. It's awful.
It is terrible.
So I wish I could give you more advice than that, Peter. Of course, you can get some AV if you want, but that's not the issue.
No.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Hi. Ooh, you just sound so sad. Let's go on to Walter in West Hartford. What's going on, Walter?
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good, sir.
Quick questions. I'm looking to buy a laptop.
All right.
And what do you recommend? 512K for the 512
gigabytes?
Gigabytes.
Yes.
Or
the hard drive?
Or 1 terabyte.
512 should be plenty for most people.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Second thing is, I generally bought a 3-year support plan.
Okay.
And after that, the plan just drops off.
Right.
Dell is now offering a monthly plan. Which
you'll pay forever.
Yeah, and the thing is, my laptop's been acting kind of screwy for the last 2 or 3 years.
Hey, Walter, we're running out of time, so can we take you off the air?
Sure.
All right. We're going to run out of time with Walter. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything live, and Dennis for posting everything up over at the Computer Talk site. Everything's going to be there for you.
Remember, we want you to be geeks too.
And we'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.